This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Rigid Roosters podcast. My name is Cody.
I'm Heather.
Nice to see you again. We are still together with one another in person recording, and it's fun.
It's always fun.
I like being with you.
Yes, I enjoy it too.
Well, before we get started on the episode that we have for today, let's do, as always, our mental health check-in. How's your brain, baby?
It's good. Had a situation present itself that kind of caught me off guard. Not in bad ways, ways that I have to take a step back and look at and kind of reexamine and talk about with you a little bit. Not because it's with you, but because you're my person and I don't know exactly how I feel about it other than, I don't know.
Well, we kind of give annoyed. Each other advice and stuff too. So we like to bounce things off of each other, you know, and I think that's a very good thing to have.
Mm-hmm. So, while I'm not super into going over it right now because it just happened today, it is something that we'll talk about that I've got feelings about, and trying to figure out why and what those feelings are for me. Other than that, still clean from the plague, feeling good there, feeling good everywhere else, coming into the holidays, getting excited for that, all the yummy food coming up, I have a sleepover, first time sleepover happening soon.
Yeah. Very fun.
Lots of good things on the horizon and, you know, be life without a couple confusing things. So still on a good track.
There have to be wrenches every now and then.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. What about you, baby?
We've been dealing with a toolbox of wrenches lately. More never hurts.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing okay. Had a mini panic attack last night. I won't say panic attack, anxiety attack. Real stressed about work, and different things going with that. Just trying to figure out a way to get back to the comfort level that we used to have, before things kind of went haywire, you know, trying to figure out a way to get us back to where we don't have to worry, literally every day. So, we'll get there. I've got some, you know, good prospects looking up. Hopefully things work out like that, like I'm wanting them to. And then, like we said, if anything, I'll just go to selling insurance. So I bet I could be a decent insurance salesman.
Yeah.
I think I could.
There's a possibility of it.
But other than that, it's been a pretty good day. Went and got a good workout in earlier. Saw my gym crush again. Didn't say hi to her again.
Oh my gosh.
We walked by each other.
You're
though.
Such a pansy.
She was wearing cotton candy perfume. It was very nice.
That's your favorite kind of stripper.
It's my weakness.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The smell.
Stripper smell. Yeah. It's my weakness, and she was definitely wearing it this morning in the gym. So.
Have you ever spoke to her yet?
Yeah. Yeah. When Kobe was going with me.
Uh huh.
Every day, she came up and talked to us then. Told him how strong he was because she couldn't do the weight that he was doing on the incline bench. So,
Yeah.
and then I went up to her after he broke his wrist and told her about him breaking his wrist, and you know, but he was telling me he did a workout before he broke his wrist where he hit some, you know, really cool number, and he was like, "Hey, do you think that girl would be impressed?" And I was like, "Yeah,
Oh
buddy,
my
I think she
gosh.
would." So I told her about it, and she just smiled ear to ear. But they haven't said much to each other since then. So, you know, and it's, I'm not in there consistently. You know,
Yeah.
I'm in there for a week at a time, and then I've got to go other places. Now, this week is going to be the second week in a row that I've been able to go every day. You know, I'm staying here until Friday, and I'm going to be in the gym every day until Friday at least, and probably Friday morning I'll get a workout in before I go. So, you know, that'll be a plus. Yeah, just I'm not around all the time, so remembering people if you don't see them constantly is tough, you know, especially if you only talk to them one time. I've got my gym buddies in there that I talk to every time I'm in there,
Yeah.
and we remember each other. But you know, I've got people that I've actually worked out with that don't recognize me, you know.
Oh, okay.
And it's just because I'm not in there.
That makes sense.
So, well, before we get any further into the episode, we had a little bit of a contest going on Facebook,
Oh,
right? Why don't you
yes.
tell our listeners about what is going on over there?
Okay. So we're just trying to we're trying to increase our engagement with you guys. One, because we're both really social in our own ways, and it's something that we enjoy doing. So we're starting this one off with, it was just a quick, simple ask, and then the prize was getting a shout out.
Yeah.
The question was simply, what is E&M? We had two answers almost back to back correctly answered. We had a, oh my gosh. I gotta go back. Oh, because I don't know if we're allowed to give names, so I'm just going with what I got. So,
Okay.
we have a Mr. Jones. No, Mr. Jackson. Sorry, wrong J's.
Where did Jones come
I
from?
don't know. Who knows? I have no idea. My brain.
Okay.
He answered it first, and I just love a man that listens.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see it answered so quickly, and so like this is what it is.
It was like I try not to engage a whole lot with those because I don't want to give away answers, or I don't want it to make it look like we're just talking to ourselves on there, you know what I mean? So, you know, I comment and I commented and said, "I know this one." And then like immediately after I had commented, there was a notification that popped up that Mr. Jackson was there and he got the answer correct.
Yep.
If you don't know yet, which you should because we've done two different vocabulary episodes now, but if you don't know yet, E&M means ethical non-monogamy, right? So Mr. Jackson got it, and then close second is our good girl, one of our OG
One
listeners,
of our OGs
and Sarah.
and one of the hottest ones we know.
Sarah, my hot sister. She's the hottest sister that anyone's ever had.
Give her her tiramisu.
And you know, whenever we're together, we like to have tiramisu.
Dorks, the both of you. Love it, here for it. Definitely dorks.
But yeah, Sarah, you're a good girl.
Yes. Thank you for always listening and helping us come up with ideas or give us ideas, directions to go, questions that you found. We appreciate you in all the ways.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into the episode. We're going to go over chapter 8 and 9 of The Ethical Slut today. Keeping on with our coverage of this book, the Bible for E&M. Let's get back into it.
Yep. So, chapter 8, boundaries, agreements, and the art of not losing your goddamn mind.
Okay.
We're also coming at you from a dual lens. So again, I'm poly leaning and Cody is definitely swinger.
Right.
This book is it encompasses a lot of the lifestyle, but I think the biggest component of it is being polyamorous. So I think it's really cool that we have you here with a different setup that can still get the lessons from it that us poly ones that are looking for relationships and other things like that to
Yeah.
happen. I just really enjoy getting to hear your part of it too, and I hope our listeners are getting enjoying that dual
They better.
that dual, you know, action there.
We're awesome. They should love listening to us.
But so yes, again, chapter 8 is all about our agreements and boundaries and being a poly person. This chapter really hits hard for me.
Yeah.
Boundaries definitely help me keep multiple emotional connections sustainable,
Okay.
for sure.
So go into that a little bit. So boundaries help you keep these sustainable. What does that mean? Does that mean like, hey, this is my time that I can divide, or this is when I can do this thing, or what does that mean? Go into that just a little bit.
Well, okay. So some of the boundaries that I have are probably typical boundaries of others in my poly-leaning ways. Mm-hmm. You know, a boundary is the kids don't get to meet for right. quite some time. Again, we've had that happen before, and it hurt all of us, not just me and Cody in the process, but all of us. And that's yeah. not something we ever want to have our children to go through again, because exactly. it was rough. It was rough on our kids. It was rough on the other child. Luckily, we're still heavily involved there too. And, yep. You know, that has made it what it is. So that's probably my biggest one, is making sure that we protect our kids and obviously protecting what you and I and holding it as something that is important to me with the others.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you at all. Go ahead. Because I have a question I wanted to follow up with off of the boundaries from the kids thing, but go ahead and keep going.
Okay. Shoot. You know, I hate when you do that, cause then it throws me off. I don't know if this is so much a boundary or just something.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Thing that I've always done, and that's the way I like it. We talked about, oh no, I don't know if we did talk about the different kinds of polyamory that there are.
I don't think we've gone over that yet.
So I think that's coming up. But I very much, okay, in a really simple way that we're not going to get into the definitions right this time because we have it somewhere else. We've yeah. already got it planned. I enjoy having multiple relationships and then meaning their own personal thing to me. Nobody is higher than the other. Love is infinite. I have tons of it to give. But something that I don't let Cody not be involved. And by that, I don't mean he's not in the relationship, or I'm not telling him about the relationship, or he's telling me what to do about the relationship. I openly talk about Cody in our life, even with the kids, to partners that make it further than just like sexy times, yeah. where there might be real emotional connection, that kind of stuff. I also do that with you. I know that took some time with learning what you wanted to hear versus everything that like we were doing. So I guess I don't know if we would call that a boundary, but I do know that is something that I don't let anybody take away from me, because you are a part of me. The kids are a part of me. Our life is a part of everything that I do. And so far, the ones that have gotten to move up to the next level with me are ones that understand it and take the time to even ask, well, has Cody gotten a, did he get a buck this year? Did he get, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
How's Kylie doing on her swings? You know, what about Kobe? Is he staying out of trouble? I like that. So, again, I don't know if that would necessarily be counted a boundary.
I think it would be. You know, I mean, you're saying this is something that I need, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is baseline what I have to have. I think that's definitely, that would be considered a boundary for sure.
Okay.
So whenever you are presenting these boundaries, how do you go about communicating that with your partner or with the person that you're interested in? Is it like it comes up in casual conversation, or is it something that you throw out right off the bat? Because our answers, I know, are going to be different.
I think it's a little bit of both, actually, mm-hmm. and a little bit of me being the goober dweeb that I am.
Yeah.
I just don't make it a big deal. I make it normal right from the start that mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about you, that I'm going to talk about the kids. If they share members of their family, I'm going to ask about those kids. So I try to, I don't, again, I don't know that I'm actually, I don't just say word bomb it. Hey, this is what's going to happen and I'm going to talk about it.
So basically what happens is you just introduce these boundaries kind of slowly.
Yeah. Right? Just as it comes in natural conversation.
Right. It's not something that you necessarily bring up like, hey, this is how we're going to frame this.
Yes.
Right. So our answers are going to be completely different for that, because for me, if I am explaining my boundaries, it's right out the gate. I'm going to frame this scenario, how this is going to happen. These are my boundaries. This is what I will do. This is what I will not do. Right. And that's, for me, just keeps the expectation clear for everybody of, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what this is going to lead to, versus, you know, wondering or letting things develop that probably aren't there or that shouldn't be there.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So boundaries for you just keep you kind of sane. They keep you able to kind of spread yourself out in these relationships. Boundaries for me as a swinger are different. Right. Boundaries
Correct.
For me as a swinger, make sure that everybody, you know, you included, is having fun with the fun times that I have. You know, I will say things like, hey, you know, my boundary is I am only looking for fun times or friendship. You know, we can do full swaps, we can do soft swaps, whatever you're into. But, you know, if my wife doesn't want to be a part of it, she won't be a part of it. What else? I want everybody to be drug and disease free.
Sure.
I don't roll with that. You know, just safe sex rules, things like that. I communicate all of that right up front, like I said, because, you know, I have to frame out what's going to happen that night. Right. And that puts everybody on the same level of expectation of, okay, we have our box. Let's stay in that box. We can move forward.
Correct.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And as long as nobody tries to color outside the lines, we're good.
And that's, I mean, that's for them and you.
Right.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we beat it until it's dead in the ground. Communication is sexy. Communication is ethical. It's what we have to do to keep having the fun that we're having, to keep enjoying the lifestyle that we share.
Mm-hmm.
With the similarities that we have, but also with the differences, because differences should be celebrated. And as long as we keep that on the up and up, I think that's something we are pretty good at doing.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's, you mentioned that communication is ethical, and 100% we have to keep that communication as swingers too. You know, for you, your boundaries are a little bit complex. They are evolving. They are, this thing that is never nailed down, right?
Correct.
You do have a few that are nailed down, and I think if you really thought about it, you would find those. But for me, it's concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, you can explain in a long term, like, hey, this is what I need. This is why I need it. This is, you know, and you can go into that kind of like a dissertation, right?
Yes.
For me, it's, hey, this and this is what we have. That's it.
Yeah.
Right. And those, my boundaries don't typically change.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like yours is a lot more black and white, where there's a lot of gray
right.
in mine.
Exactly. And you know, that can be good and bad, right? I think that we need that boundaries need to be black and white. But that's, you know, my brain as for what I'm looking for.
Correct.
For my instance, yes, the boundaries have to be black and white. For yours, I would understand a little bit more gray area, but you still have to have your black and white boundaries, your hard lines that, hey, we don't cross this.
And I guess I would just have to sit down and actually really think about what that is. Because again, the way I present myself is just who I am naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody, like, I've never had anybody say, hey, I don't want to hear about your husband, or hey, I don't want to hear about your kids, because it would stop there for me, because
yeah.
I'm never going to keep that separate. I am going to protect it from other outside relationships better than I have in the past, but it's definitely not something that.
So that is a hard line for you, though. You have to be able to share, you know, me and the kids with somebody. You have to be able to include us. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
I mean, and that, yeah,
that's a hard line.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that we have to have, you know, everything else can be gray, right? You can have other things that are gray matter. Like, you know, I will only do this with you,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, that might change. You
yes.
know, you might find something that you really enjoy that, hey, you want to try with somebody else. And that's totally fine.
Yes.
We just talk about it. We communicate it. And those are your gray boundaries. Those are things that can change. But your hard lines, don't bend those for anybody.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Those can evolve and they can change, of course. But typically your hard lines are your hard lines for a reason. You know,
yes.
I have things that I will do. I have things that I will not do. And those have to be met, or this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
You know,
So some book examples that I've got for you, the authors talk about agreements evolving over time, just like you said. I try to keep things fluid because there's something that's always changing. There are things that don't change. Like I said, having you and the kid, having you and kids and the things that we're doing, Girl Scouts, softball, football, whatever it is, having you guys go with me everywhere. And I kind of make it as a, I just kind of set it up as a package deal. And I've never really thought about it being a hard boundary, but it is. If I'm not free to talk about the things that make me happy, well, then we're not meant to be what we're supposed to be. Right. You know, we're not going to have sex because it's not going to put me in a safe place knowing that there's trust and respect. You know that. I don't know where I was going, but that's for me. Yeah, that's what that is.
So what is something that an agreement that has evolved that maybe you've had with another partner or agreement that you and I have had that has evolved?
One of those being when we first started this, I wasn't poly. I came out kind of like you wanting to be a swinger and explore more things sexually. But that's not who I am. Right. So that changed with my, it was a very fast crash and burn. Good lesson learned. The very first time that we did do that, had gone on a few dates, both partners of me and this other person had said, you know, no feelings. It's just sexy times. Because that was what they were doing. That was how it was working. However, I'm just super lovable. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it changed. It became something with feelings. For me, there was discussion with Cody about that happening. Mm-hmm. On the other person's part, there wasn't. So it was actually me dropping a land bomb.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
When we had me and my partner's wife had gone out together to go see The Lion King at the Civic Center. I don't remember exactly how it got brought up to that point, but it was more or less being like, how are you since he said I love you? And she, I mean, everything stopped. Like you felt.
Like the record scratch.
And yes. Yeah. What? Yes, exactly. And it was just like, what do you mean? And so right then and there, I was like, oh, I'm cooked. But I didn't do anything wrong. Like, and that took me a little bit to realize because it wasn't like I was tattling or telling or bragging. Mm-hmm. It was me just being me and doing kind of a check-in on it with that person. But that person partner had not said anything.
Yeah.
So
if you run into a situation like that, and this is just for listeners, if you're in that situation and you have, you know, dynamics have changed, boundaries have changed, and you know this person does have a partner, get with your partner and say, hey, have you talked to your significant other about this? Have you talked to your partner about this? Because that has to be incredibly clear, right? Mm-hmm. That has to be, hey, you have to be willing to go and talk to them about this. Otherwise, it isn't going to work, you know? Get with them beforehand and say, hey, have you talked to your partner? If not, you have this long. You have the rest of the week. You have a few days. You have whatever time you want to come up with. But you have X amount of time to do this. Otherwise, you're keeping secrets and it's not going to work. Right?
Yeah, that one was definitely a real big eye-opener. Because in the end, it also still leads me to this day having to over-explain I just am a chatterbox, and I am definitely one of those tismed folks that, for example, will give you a rock because I found it and I thought of you. Mm-hmm. Or I will be at the store and see like a Pokemon keychain. And that's a gift given, you know,
yeah.
Because I thought of you at that moment. I was told I was too much at that point, and it has really taken a toll on me. I've gotten better. I've worked through some of it in therapy, of course. But I know it's still something there because it is like automatically written into as I'm talking about this, to them or about myself and how that happened. If they're asking questions about my past, it definitely is like, okay, just so you know, I'm completely capable of having three different conversations on three different platforms. One of them being, you know, I'm just sending you funny memes that I know are going to make you laugh, or TikToks. Another being that we're talking about something sexual that we want to do or what we can't wait to get to do again. And then be talking about like your grandma, who's not doing well. Or
yeah, you don't typically want to talk about sexy times and the grandma at the same time.
That's a bad example, but I can have all of those conversations and still keep them together.
Yeah.
Obviously this person wasn't meant to be a part of my life for long. Mm-hmm. He definitely didn't appreciate what he had, as far as the level of commitment I was ready to give, mm-hmm. That I have in me because of my capacity to love as hard as I do. Mm-hmm. So that was my first crash and burn. That was a big thing there. So I would say that was probably, I kind of actually forgot what your question originally was.
Boundaries that have shifted for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's where it started. And that was pretty early on. I think you had already played with a couple of people at that point, and I hadn't, and you were getting into your head because I wasn't doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, I was having these experiences and you were not.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, at this point, like, I'm just stepping out, right? Like, I'm just...
Which is not
true. I'm stepping
true.
Outside
yes.
of our relationship. That's how it felt.
Yes, though. No, 100%.
You know, it was like, at this point, why am I doing this? I'm going and having this good time whenever she's not doing anything. And I brought it up to her. I said, hey, you know, I feel this way. Should we take a step back? Should I take a step back? And it got to the discussion of what she really needed in terms of... from the lifestyle, what she needed to have in order to have a good time with this. You know, boundaries for me in terms of swinging have not shifted a whole lot. You know, of course there's kink wise things that I've found that, okay, yes, I'm willing to try, right? Or yes, I'm willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But my boundaries in terms of what I request from you have changed, right? There used to be things sexually that I only wanted to happen with me.
Yeah.
And that's now shifted to where basically what happened is I realized I don't own you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're my wife. I don't own you. I don't get to lay claim to those sexual things. That's not how it works, right? So I came to that realization and said, well, if you want to do these things, then I'm okay with that because you happy makes me happy, right?
Correct.
So, you know, I kind of came to that realization, and it's been a lot easier on me since I came to that. Right. And it was a rough, when it happened, it was rough. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, it was like, well, you know, I wanted that to be just us. I wanted that to be just me. But then I got to thinking about it and like, that doesn't make any sense. You know, it's you exploring, you having a good time. And that's the whole reason we're in the lifestyle, is to explore,
mm-hmm.
to have a good time, to find out about ourselves, what we want, what we like,
mm-hmm.
you know, things that get our motors running. Right. And for me to say, well, you can't do that. Well, that's, I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I think we're both in the same company as far as that goes.
And that's an example of a rule that turned to an agreement that definitely shifted to now it's have fun.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Tell me about it.
Yes.
Right. You know what I mean? It's not, hey, you can't do X, Y, Z. Only I get to do X, Y, Z. No, it's go have fun. Tell me about it. Let's live that joy together.
Yes. It right? definitely takes a lot of pressure, or it took a lot of pressure off when that happened.
Yeah.
Just because I, being the girl, you know, promised to marry God with her cute little promise ring and all of that stuff, I didn't actually have my first self-induced orgasm until I was like 29 years old. It just wasn't something talked about, in my family. And if it was, they kept it for me. I mean, I don't remember any kind of sex talk.
Yeah.
So yes, having that that wall kind of not break down, but lead us a different way to seeing and having
fun. I think you are at the beginning of your sexual exploration journey, right? I have been on that journey for a long time, and that's the reason I have some of the kinks that I do have, right? Some of this more kind of out there stuff is because I realized, hey, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried it or I've seen it, and I like that. I want that,
yeah.
Right? You haven't, right? Like you said, you just had your first self-induced orgasm at 30. So
29, but yes.
You know, it's building off of that is where you start to explore, right?
Yeah.
What else is out there? What else do I want? What do I want to experience? And I said it on the kink episode, but we are meant to experience things in life, right? We are not meant to pay bills and die. So
100%.
Our agreement needs to be allowing those experiences for one another, right? For lack of a better word, I don't allow you to do anything.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
But for lack of a better word, we need to allow each other to have these experiences because that's what we're here for, is experience. I'll get that. You talk.
No, I think I don't know how much more that we could go into this that we're not just like repeating the same things again. So I feel comfortable moving into our next chapter, but because these are such big chapters, especially for me being poly-leaning or polyamorous,
mm-hmm.
We the script next week might have more of us doing these chapters again, but more from a real life perspective versus what we're just reading in the book.
Okay.
I love The Ethical Slut. Like Cody said, it's basically a manual, or it's as close to one as we can get. Being in this lifestyle, being poly-leaning or polyamorous, it was really fucking hard to do,
yeah.
to get through. I love to read. I am a dork, bookworm, whatever, nerd kind of thing you can think of. I love to read. It took me like 6.5 months to get through this book.
Yeah.
Because it's textbook. That is boring. That is almost as boring as reading a history book to me. No slam on people that like the history books. I just can't get into them.
Well, I mean, it's like you said, though, for lack of a better term, it is a textbook. You know, it's a how-to. And
yeah.
That can be very dry. It can be hard to get into because it's not written like a narrative.
Correct.
It's written like, hey, these are these things. This is how you confront them. This is how you deal with them, right? So, yeah, I mean, that would be hard for anybody to get into. Anybody that's not an academic that reads textbooks all the time.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. My current newest sleepover fling thing, still there's no title there, so that's why you got all of those. He is a part of his job is being analytical. He's a very well educated person. I can see him being able to read this and take away what needs to be taken in a lot faster time than it took me.
Yeah.
I had to basically make myself sit down to read it because it is something I wanted to learn. It is something I wanted to expand my knowledge about so that it does protect us in our marriage, but also allows us to have the fun that we are having on the outside of that.
Mm.
So I think with this next couple of chapters, while we finish out the book, I'm going to play with the idea. I really like the idea of kind of bringing it more to life than a textbook.
Yeah.
I know that I know of three others for sure that have reached out to be like, God, how do you get through this? Or I'm so glad you're talking about it because I can't finish the book or I can't finish the chapter because all it is black and white.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important and special that we're able to bring not only the duality of having our different relationship styles, but we're able to put textbook to real life.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I haven't decided. I'm definitely going to be thinking about it. But I might have us do another episode where there's some more real life instances that we can say, this is what in the book, this is how we handled it, or this
right.
is whatever. So anywho, that's the bookworm part of me is figuring that out. But it is really important to me to be able to make the book come alive. Any book that we go over, there's a couple other ones that are more poly-leaning. There are a couple other ones that are more about kind of what the big part of this is taking back what slut means and using it for good and being proud to be a slut because we are. It's not a shameful thing that we're doing. We're both in agreement. And again, it's ethical. So we're doing everything that we can to keep it that way. So for, you know, moving on purposes, let's go ahead and move into chapter 9, which is over jealousy, fear, and brain bullies. Again, we're coming at you with poly jealousy versus what a swingers jealousy might look like. For me, poly jealousy is showing up when emotional intimacy feels like it's unbalanced. Kind of like, do I still matter in the same way beforehand?
And that's, I think that's the same for both of us. You know what I mean? That's definitely, as a swinger with a poly partner, 1000%, that's exactly what happens to me as well, right? I think that jealousy, to me, jealousy is jealousy, right? There are reasons inside all of us that we do feel jealous over different things, right? Go ahead.
I mean, what you're saying, yes, I agree with that. But I also think there's more, I don't want to say black and white terms, but there's, it's more cosmetic a little bit, I think, can be more cosmetic from you guys. Because, for instance, I'm 5'11". I love being 5'11". I wish I was 6'2" when I was growing up. Mm. However, the cute little girls that are all, or partners, people that are, you know, 5'6" or average sized for women, I don't normally get a dainty, I'm a little, like, I'm a girl that's in the movies that gets all of that. So for me, it's going for taller people. Not like that's the only basis of me looking at somebody you're being interested in. There's a whole bunch of facets to that. But, like, I know that's something that has gone on your mind and come to me and being like, well,
I'm going to say this, and I hope it doesn't upset you.
Okay.
I disagree wholeheartedly with the cosmetic thing. I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
Yes, cosmetics can cause jealousy, 100%, right? Like, if you're with a guy that's absolutely fucking ripped and 6'9", yeah, that's going to cause a little bit of jealousy, but jealousy comes in all sorts of forms, right?
Sure.
So for me, with the tall thing, right, I'm not tall. I am 5'8". And it's not the fact that you're looking for tall people. That's not it at all. It's that it keeps getting brought up, right? Over and over and over again, it keeps getting brought up, and you keep mentioning, well, this guy's only, you know, 5'6". I've already got someone that's only 5'8". It's when you keep bringing that up that it starts to become a problem.
I understand, but that's why the last time that we had a conversation like that, it was, I already have my short king. I don't need more.
Right. And I know the way that you intend it, but the way that it's perceived is different, right? You keep bringing up how short I am, and it sucks. You know what I mean?
But you've always been my short stack.
That's not coming from a place of a cosmetic worry. That's an insecurity that I have, right? I have always been short. You're right. But it's a thing that I have dealt with for a long time, right? Having trouble reaching things at work, having trouble reaching things at school, you know, it's, you laugh, but it sucks.
I'm not laughing.
As a man, it sucks, you know? And so whenever it keeps getting pounded on, it sucks. And that's not coming from a place of cosmetics. That's coming from, okay, is it really that noticeable? Am I really this much shorter? And is she unhappy with that? It comes from a place of worrying if you're not satisfied. Am I not satisfying you?
No, that's not the case at all.
And I think that jealousy between swingers is going to be different than jealousy that we have, right? Because my jealousy with you comes from that feeling. Am I enough? Am I satisfying you? Are you still happy with me? Are you still attracted to me? Right? It's not a cosmetic thing at all. It's a, do you still feel the way that you used to? Mm-hmm. Right? That's where that brain bully comes in. That's where that jealousy comes in. And I don't want to go too much further into it because, you know, you and I haven't talked a whole lot about that. It's just, it is an insecurity, right? And it's something, like I mentioned, jealousy is in all of us. And most often, it's an internal thing that causes it. It's an insecurity that we have to deal with, right? It's, I don't want to say better, but it is, for lack of a better term, better for you to confront that insecurity and figure out, why is this causing me to be jealous? Right. Rather than asking your partner, hey, I need you to stop doing XYZ. think about, why does that make me jealous? Why am I dealing with these feelings right now? Why, because she said this, am I feeling this way? You know what I mean? Well, I know that it's an insecurity that I have. So I have to overcome that in order to not feel that jealousy anymore, to not feel that worry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Rationally, I know that you and I are in love. We're going to be together forever.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Irrationally, from those brain bullies, I'm no longer satisfying you.
And no, I get it. Because on the same flip side, because of you being so much, I don't know, further down the line, if you will, in your sexual journey, in your kinks and finding new things,
mm-hmm.
I have to worry, not worry about that, but I try to make a point to make sure that it is okay that I'm not, I don't want to give any of your kinks away without you telling them. So that I'm not into doing,
yeah,
or I've never thought about doing, or I don't really have, that's a curiosity that I don't really need answered.
Yeah.
And then you getting it with somebody else. Well, am I not doing my part as being a wife to have you enjoy that too?
And I don't think that's your part though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's your job to answer every sexual question that I have. That's not your job. Your job is to be you, right? And if you are not into these things, you're not.
Yeah.
You know, but your job is not to answer to my beck and call whenever it comes to sexual things. That's not it at all. Your job is to be you and to be happy. And my job is to be me and make you happy and for me to be happy. And you make me happy as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do that by sacrificing ourselves.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So, I would never, ever ask you to try anything that you're uncomfortable with.
Oh, I know. And you haven't ever made me feel that way.
Yeah.
And it's definitely more, like you just said, it's an insecurity of your own.
Right.
Well, I've dropped. Just leave it. It's fine. It's just falling off of my legs. My fidget there. Sorry, dropped my phone. It's like the fifth time I've done it. Like you said, it's my own insecurity because I'm not as fleshed out in my sexual journey as you are.
Right.
I still can get in. I know we've talked about it before, where I can still get into my head very much so about that. Or not being enough for others that are also in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because as far as kinks go, I'm probably more vanilla than a lot, at least for you, for sure. But okay with that.
Yeah, but you're also very open to trying most
yes,
things. Unless you have that hard line, which, you know, it's the one that we discussed the other night. You have that hard line, and that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
We have our boundaries, and that's what keeps everybody having fun.
Yeah.
Right? But you are very open to trying these things.
I'm understanding that a little bit better now.
And I have thrown things at you that are fucking wild. And you, as long as you're comfortable with them, have been like, yeah, okay, let's try it. You know, and it's... You say that you're vanilla, and I get it because you don't have these kinks of your own that make you, that get your motors running. I understand that. You're not vanilla though, because you are extremely open to trying these things more than once, you know, even if you don't necessarily wholeheartedly like it, as long as it's something that you're not against, you'll do it, right? Just because you
enjoy that part of
it. Yeah. Just because you enjoy providing that for everybody, you know? So I get where the worry comes from. I understand it. You know what I mean? I get it. The sexual differences is hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially like if you're looking at yourself compared to other people,
mm-hmm.
right? I've been guilty of it. I've compared myself to your partners in the past. And it's, there's a saying, comparison is the thief of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is 100%.
100%.
Because instead of feeling, you know, grateful for the experiences that we get to have, and instead of feeling happy that you're happy and that you're experiencing these things, then I start to compare myself and, well, I'm not that way. You know, I'm not 6'5". I don't have a giant fucking, you know, ding dong, you know.
Well, I know we're making light of it. We're making a joke kind of, but that's tall is something I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. As far as what anybody's packing downstairs, boy or girl, that that really comes down to being inconsequential to me, because for me, there's a lot more behind it. There's the chemistry, there's the emotions, there's...
And just for clarity, I don't compare my size to anybody else's. I think that mine is fine. I think that it does a great job.
Yep, it does.
I know that
it pleases many. You're fine.
I've had good reviews, yes. So I'm not worried about that. But I do have the moments of like, well, I'm not 6'5". You know,
or, nobody I've had is 6'5". Like 6 foot is usually.
Okay. So you're getting too specific.
Well,
right?
I know.
I'm just throwing generalizations at you.
Okay.
I get nobody you've had is 6'5".
I just don't want that to be like a big, bad, crazy thing in your head. That's...
No, it's just like, I'm just throwing random numbers, right? It's these insecurities that I have about myself that when I start to compare myself with other people, that's when they show their head, right?
Yeah.
I can't compare myself with other people.
Sorry.
Oh, where was that?
153.
4130. Okay. But anyways, like, it's when I compare myself, when I start comparing myself to other people, that's where those insecurities come from. So you being you is all you need to be. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you being you happily is the only thing that I or any of your partners should ever want. I never want you to be uncomfortable or unhappy. So that worry that you have, and I get that it's an insecurity and that it's something that you're going to have to tackle, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in order to help you with that, I would never be happy with myself, and I would never enjoy something that I asked you to do that would make you uncomfortable, ever.
Yeah.
It would be something that I would not have fun with. It would be something that I felt uncomfortable doing. And that just means that I care about you and your happiness. That doesn't make our relationship any less than. What that means is that you have your boundaries. I respect your boundaries. That's all that means, right? You can't compare yourself to anyone, you know, and you are incomparable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it. And like I said, that is something I'm working with. It is something that you've told me. It's some of the bigger, more well-known people down in Karma have made me stop to think, Heather, your kink is saying yes. Your kink is saying, okay, let's try it. Your kink is this. And so I do have to wrap my brain around that not a lot of the time, but especially as, ma'am, is that door closed?
That means you do not come in.
Her mom's going to get her.
Yeah.
I'm lost. That was our niece that walked in. Yeah. We are teaching her. We are trying to help learn her that if the door is closed, that we don't come in it. It's a new thing because our kids learned it right from the get-go.
Yeah. I'm going to have to install a lock on that door.
Oh, man. Anywho, yes. So I'm definitely – that is something I'm working on that I'm trying to tackle that own brain bully in myself. Mm-hmm. Because I'm meaner to myself than anybody has ever been mean. Yeah. So I know a lot of the time it's not you. It's not my partners. It's not whoever I'm getting down and jiggy with it. Mm-hmm. It's me. But lucky for me that I have the village and the people behind me that can say, stop, this is what you are. Or like, stop, this is what you're bringing. Stop, this is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, I am fortunate. You are fortunate to have the people that we do in our lives, so that we can manage this and have fun doing it. Oh my gosh.
Did you call them today?
No, I've been sleeping all day.
I'm going to throw shit at you.
Well, between your niece, this dog, and our children, I just wanted to sleep a little bit.
All right.
But anyway, so yeah, let's, I think, are you good with that? You want to kind of go from the book example?
No, I mean, I think that covers jealousy really well. I mean, there's not a lot more you can get into it, right? Jealousy, 90% of the time, is caused by something within yourself that you don't like about the situation that's happening.
And that's the real tackle, you figuring out what that is and then putting work towards.
Now, of course, work with your partner on that.
Oh, right? Yes.
Like, say, you know, they say a word that triggers that insecurity, right? Well, hey, can we use a different term?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, hey, can you stop talking about this? You know what I mean? work with your partner on that and explain to him why you would like that to be this shifting boundary, right? Why you would like that to happen. And then they can help you get over that insecurity for sure.
But as long as you're willing to put in your own individual work.
Yeah.
Yes, it is super important that we have each other's backs to do that. But there is a part of it that you have to do yourself.
Yeah.
To find.
No, that's totally what
okay.
I meant.
Okay. I just don't want
your partner can't solve you.
Yes. Okay.
You know what I mean? That's not something that exists.
I just didn't want to walk away with that impression.
Not only can your partner not solve your problems, but you shouldn't want them to. Your partner is not responsible for your happiness.
Correct.
You
yes.
are responsible for your own happiness. So at the end of the day, you have to be the one to put in the work. You have to be the one to chase your own happiness, and you have to be the one that fixes the things inside yourself that you're unhappy with. Can your partner help? Absolutely. You know, especially if you ask them, like, hey, can I get help with X, Y, and Z, right? If you come to them with clear expectations and clear asks, then yeah, they can of course help you, but they're not responsible for the whole thing, and mm-hmm. you should never want them to be.
Yes. You have to. I just didn't want to walk away and leave anybody of our listeners that might be single right now mm-hmm. or even, you know, not in the lifestyle for them to think, oh, it all goes to your partner. No, there's a lot of work you have to do on yourself to have a good time in this lifestyle.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of work you need to do on yourself, even if you aren't in the lifestyle,
for sure.
Even if you aren't partnered, because if your happiness on this inside your own self is there, it comes out that way with others.
Well, jealousy is more than just romantic too, though. You know what I mean? Like, and so we talk about our people that are outside of the lifestyle, maybe people that are single, you know, things like that. Jealousy can come from, you get on social media, you get on Instagram, and you see that your friend is on a beach posting these pictures while you're stuck at work. You know what I mean? That can cause jealousy.
Yeah, Scott. No, I'm just kidding.
But at the same time, you got to realize, like, hey, they worked hard to take this vacation, right? Or, you know, they deserve this vacation, and I get to take vacation when I want to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can do the same things. So, yeah, jealousy comes from all over the place.
Yeah.
It just, you have to realize why you are feeling that way is most often linked to you.
Yeah.
Not to your partner, not to your friends.
Well, and that's
a
hard pill to swallow for some, like, think of our parents, for instance. Yeah. Nothing is wrong with them.
Yeah.
They've done it all. They know it all. And
I think that's generational, really. I really do. Because I think that, you know, our generation for sure is a lot more willing to look at, why am I feeling this way?
Mm-hmm.
How can I accept responsibility for this? And what can I fix?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's not a knock on anybody else. That's just, they raised us to be that way, right? Mm-hmm. They raised us to be, you know, you take responsibility for this. If you have something fucked up, you fix it. And so they raised us to be that way. So it's not a knock on anybody. It's just that there are differences.
Definitely.
100%. And I've even seen it in the lifestyle. There are differences generationally between people where expectations are different. Boundaries are different. Communication styles are different. All of these things are different, and it can result in a lot of confusion, and it can result in a lot of bad feelings if everybody's not on the same page, mm-hmm. right? So,
yeah, I think we've done it. I think that's been a good job.
Yeah.
Another little, I guess, last thing takeaway, is something I have found that I do need, not only from you, but from other play partners, is sometimes I need reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
You give it to me pretty much without asking when you can see, because you know me, if you can see that I'm struggling with something, you can reassure me that, like, babe, I love you. I know it's this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't have a good example, but
I can. The other day, in the mansion where we had our playtime mm-hmm. with all three of us involved. And then
with
you,
me?
Yes. And then you told me,
okay.
You told me some things that I could have done better.
Okay.
That
yes.
was, you know, when it was happening, I was trying to do those things. I just wasn't doing them like enough or mm-hmm. whatever. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I let myself get sidetracked away from doing those things. And of course, you're heat of the moment. Things are going to happen,
sure.
right? You were completely understanding about it. I don't want it to sound like that, but I knew from past experiences that she needed that,
yeah.
right? That you needed the physical contact, the eye contact,
the eye
like
contact.
That.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's something that I was trying to do. And it's something that I realized that, you know, I've got to put a little bit more work into for sure. And it's something that I can do easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to next time, you don't have to ask for that. I just give it to you,
yeah.
right? It's very important that when your partner communicates to you, you remember what they need, right? That's key to all of this. Mm-hmm. You have to remember your conversations. And if you don't, then you're never going to be able to move forward.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're constantly pounding on the same
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. It won't be as fun anymore. It turns into something different. Yeah. So I hope I am able to give you the same reassurances when you need them. But I have found that in the little side things I have going on with the couple of people that I do, it is something I require that. Something new has happened in your life, in a way that not affects me, but like
deals with you, kind of.
Deals with me, yeah. Like I'm in a spectrum of things.
Yeah.
Finding out things from others sucks.
Yeah.
Finding out from things on Facebook posts sucks balls.
Yeah.
That could have all been taken care of with just a simple conversation.
So that's a reassurance that you need. You want the communication direct.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't need to come from other people. It doesn't need to be through the grapevine. It needs to be direct to you. That is a form of reassurance for sure.
Yeah.
You know, if I say we were at a club party, mm-hmm. and I went off and had sex with somebody and didn't talk to you about it, and you found out about it after it had already happened without me telling you about it, yeah, that would be shitty.
Yeah.
Right? So compare it to that situation. Like, hey, if your partner did that, if you did that to me, I would be pissed, right? Because you know I would be okay with it. You know that, mm-hmm. I would say, hey, hell yeah, go do this.
Yeah.
But I want the communication,
yeah.
right? And we have both made that very clear. So think about how you would feel if somebody did it to you. That's the huge thing here. Think about how you would feel if somebody did the same thing to you. You know what I mean? And we all need those reassurances.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mine are in the way of like self-confidence type things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want to hear that I did a good job.
Yeah.
I want to hear that you had a good time.
Yeah.
That's my big thing. Cause even though, you know, I have been in the gym constantly. I have completely transformed the way that I looked 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I am a different person.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, I don't see that day to day. Right. So I have a lot of the self-confidence issues where I want to know that I'm attractive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know that I'm doing a good job. I want to know that you came, right? Mm-hmm. I want to know that all of these things happened that are good. You know
yes.
what I mean? That's the reassurance that I need, where your reassurance is more like, we're still in this together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And of course I need that too. Like after you go on a date, I need you to talk to me. I need you to be with me for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need it to just be us for a little bit.
Yeah.
And you and I both know that, and you give me that reassurance without me even having to ask for it. You know what I mean?
Good. I hope so. I try.
Yeah.
I try to, for sure.
No, you did. I mean, you know, when you go on the sleepover thing, I don't think I'm going to be home.
No, you won't.
During that, but you will still, I know you will. Afterwards, you will talk to me. You'll
oh,
make
yeah.
a point to text me, call me, whatever it is, and make sure that I have your attention for most of that day,
mm-hmm.
at least.
Well, and again, that it circles back to having you as a part of my life in any situation that I end up in. So just because I'm going over there for dinner and a sleepover, I'm not going to not talk to you.
Yeah.
Yes. Will my time be spent in the moment? Yes. Because that's important for me to give to people that are wanting that from me too.
Yeah.
But you're never not there.
Right. But as hard as it is for me, I try not to text you a whole bunch or bug you a whole bunch whenever you are in one of those situations, right? If you're on a date or you're spending the night with somebody, I'm not going to blow your phone up.
Yeah.
I'm going to,
oh, no, you haven't ever.
And I'm probably going to tell you good night and I love you. And that'll be about it for
yeah.
the night. That's fucking hard. It is fucking hard to do, but I do it because I know that if I was in the same situation, like say I was polyamory and I was on a sleepover date with somebody, I wouldn't want my phone being blown up,
yeah.
you know, and when you and I are here together, I don't want somebody blowing up your phone and all of your attention to be in your phone while I'm sitting right here beside you.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So I try to remember that,
mm-hmm.
and I try to grant somebody else the same courtesy.
Correct. And I think you've done a good job. And I just think we have found what works for us.
Yeah.
Because I refuse to not have you as a part of the conversation. It's again, I don't know that necessarily it's a boundary, but if you text me, I am responding. And so far the partners that have lasted any amount of time with me
mm-hmm.
understand that and like the fact that I still make time for you
yeah.
because they know that they're going to get that. If it continues to to go into something more serious,
yeah,
that they know they'll have that from me as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, because you and I have been doing this, it also, you also know when you need to answer right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I call you, something's fucking wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There is a problem and you need to answer the phone right now.
Yeah.
And we do a very good job about that. It's the same thing. Like if I'm on a play date or I'm playing,
mm-hmm,
if I can get to my phone, I'm going to answer you.
Yeah.
Now, if my phone's on the floor under my foot and I'm in the middle of something and I don't hear it go, sure, off, then yeah. But,
well, yeah, because I don't expect you to completely disengage from,
yeah,
whatever activity you're doing, yeah, to call me back.
But that's where understanding happens,
yes,
right? You know, and I'm going to understand, unless it's like an absolute emergency, I'm going to understand if I don't get a text back. I'm going to understand if maybe you missed my call. But if it's an emergency and I'm bleeding, I'm probably going to be pissed that you didn't answer. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
No, I totally get it. But I know there has, and I know there has been times where I'm in the same situation where my pants got taken off me and,
mm-hmm,
so did my phone.
Yeah.
But after the fun is over there, I pick it up and I'm like, oh, give me a second. He called. I needed to check in.
Yeah.
I do think that is something that we have gotten really good at, offering each other and still being able to maintain what we're doing with who we're doing at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a very, very well worded. Well, we are about out of time. Let's get into our cool down. Let's wrap things up. This has been a fun episode. I feel like you and I have learned a little bit about each other on this. I feel like, I think we went a little bit off script, and I think that the script really didn't quite understand what jealousy was and the level with which we both experience it,
mm-hmm,
right?
Again, another reason why I'm leaning definitely towards us kind of continuing in these for at least another episode,
yeah,
because they're big episodes.
Yeah.
They're big chapters in this book. So more than likely my little nerdy butt is going to be frameworking that out.
Yeah.
So that we can dive in a little harder. But like you said, we're kind of in our close down. We're trying to think of something fun. So it's like marry, fuck, kill.
Okay.
But it's in a lifestyle type of thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you three types of people from E&M scenarios.
Okay.
We're going to pick who we'd swap, which is a sexual.
Okay.
Date, emotional, or deny. Hard pass.
Okay. Okay.
So first one is a boundaries edition. We've got the over-communicator, the silent but hot type, or the dom with the Google Calendar link.
Okay. So for me, swap, date, deny. So swap with the silent but hot type, date the over communicator, and deny the dom with the Google Calendar kink.
Okay, so I don't know how I feel about the dom stuff yet, because, mm-hmm, I'm so bratty and switchy that in my brain I can't be dominated. So for me, that one's probably the swap, but not because of the calendar thing. I like the calendar thing.
Yeah.
As you've joked and poked fun at before, while I don't feel like it's a kink, I do definitely enjoy having a plan of action, in different scenarios.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the dom part of it. Anybody so far that has ever come up to be like, oh, I'm a dom, has, mm-hmm, been full of shit. And
90% of the time.
Yeah.
Well, and 90% of the time, those people don't know what being a dom means. You know, if we're at a lifestyle event and you talk to somebody that says they're a dom, 90% of the time they are, right? But if you're in the dating world and somebody says they're a dom, 90% of the time they're full of shit.
Yeah.
They don't know how to care for somebody afterwards. I've done a lot of research into this because I've had several play partners that want that dynamic,
mm-hmm,
right? And I can give it, right?
Yeah, you
but
can.
It's something where if you're going to be a dom, you have to know what to say, when to say it, and you have to provide aftercare. That's where all of the bullshitters fail, is they don't know how to provide the aftercare. They don't know how to take care of their person.
Further than that, some of them are just saying that so they can hit harder or bite deeper or whatever.
And
it's not a true lifestyle dom kind of style.
As a dom, you should take care of your sub, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being a dom is not about inflicting pain or punishment. Being a dom is taking care of your sub. So if your sub is not into pain, you don't deal out pain.
Yeah.
If you're doing the whole the reward and punishment thing, you can do, you know, denial. You can do all sorts of things But you stay away from pain if your sub is not into pain.
Yeah.
And that's, there's a misunderstanding where DOMs are all whips and chains. No, that's not the case at all.
Mm-mm.
Anyone that's into S&M, yeah, sure. That's great for them. But for me, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
Right. If you want to be spanked, I can do that, but I'm not going to go a whole lot further than that. My deal is the tease and denial type
yeah.
thing. Right. Mm-hmm. If you're good, then you get to
suck
experience. Well, no, if you're good, you get to come.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're not, then you get denied.
Yeah.
And you can ask that one in there about it, and she hates me sometimes.
Right? Oh, I know she does. Oh, I know she does. So for me, just because they threw in that DOM thing, that is my hard pass.
Okay.
My swap or my sexual thing would probably be the silent but hot type.
Okay.
You know. In answering a fantasy there, or whoever knows, but the over communicator definitely is probably somebody that I would enjoy dating.
So our answers are the same.
Oh, did you say that? Oh, are they?
Yeah, our answers are exactly the same.
How funny. Okay. So round two is a jealousy edition.
Okay.
Okay. So moans too loud, the snack bringer, or the emotional support water bottle.
Okay. I'm going to swap with moans too loud. Date the snack bringer and deny the water bottle.
I'm going to deny the freaking moan too loud thing.
See, that's where our brains are different because I'm sexually wired, right?
Yeah.
And I know that she's doing that to try to make me come. Like that's the whole reason you do that. Right. So I know that I'm going to have a good time. So fuck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. There's just been too many times I've had to excuse myself from a playroom because somebody was giving out a porn scream and I was about to burst into giggles.
Yeah.
And I'm not wanting to ruin that play for that person especially if they're actually for real making those sounds out of pleasure and not just comical. But for me, I do like talk. I love like the guttural roar of like a man coming. Anything over the top, I'm just like, okay.
Well, and it's, you know, like I said, there's a reason they're doing that. It's not because they're feeling that. It's to get whoever they're with to come.
Yeah.
That's what the goal is, right? Because we've all watched porn. We, you know, the male fantasy is being with one of those porn stars and fucking like that, right? So whenever those girls are doing that, it's like, okay, well, this is part of it, right? This is part of the fantasy, and it triggers something in your brain where she's doing this. It's like dirty talk for me.
Okay.
Right?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, like you know the words to say that pushes a button
sure.
in my brain that means come right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that's sort of the same thing.
Okay.
That's what's happening there.
I can see that. I don't know. For me, I want to be real, and doing a fake scream like that.
Yeah.
Makes me want to burst into giggles, like in the goofiest of ways. And that's why I excuse myself because I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum. I'm just, that's not mine.
Yeah.
So that one, no, thank you. I don't need the moans too loud. the emotion sort pot, water bottle. I'd probably actually, swap, be sexual with them.
Okay.
They would take care of, some of my needs. I do get super thirsty. It is important that somebody has water there, because I love making out. I love
you little shit.
Is it getting your toes?
Yes.
I wondered why you were sitting like that. I feel like they would take an extra effort to make sure that like I'm having a good time. We're having a good time, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the snacks, the snack bringer, I'm the snack bringer and
that's
I want people
I
to
date
me. So definitely that's a date. Definitely date and being into it that way.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know, snacks that the water bottle, I don't know how to explain it anywhere in my brain, but for me being a snack bringer or wanting snacks, that's commitment. That's love there. okay. So our last one, round three, it's chaos edition. Cause that's basically what we're bringing to the table. In our dynamic is we're adding a little bit of our own chaos. So we have the accidental full swapper. We have the CrossFit husband or the poly poet who writes wormy love notes.
This one's tough.
Okay.
I'm going to deny the CrossFit husband because CrossFit is not a real form of fitness.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's fake shit.
Okay.
I hate CrossFitters.
Okay.
CrossFitters, really, I don't hate you. It's the extremists CrossFitters that I really fucking dislike. The guys that get up on the pull-up bar and are rocking the entire fucking weight set whenever they're just trying to do pull-ups, like, it shouldn't rock back and forth like that. That's not how that works.
Oh, we got him on a hot ticket, y'all.
Yeah. But I was actually going to deny the accidental full swapper, too, because okay. That, to me, is you set a boundary, you're crossing it, or I've set a boundary, you're crossing it. So I'm going to actually deny both of those okay. And then date the poly poet who writes Wormy Love Notes.
Okay. So I know that for my love language, for me, acts of service is a big one, but then words of affirmation being the next one. However, there is a point where that shit makes me laugh just like the loud moans. Mm-hmm. So I would probably... I mean, I love that they're poly and I'm love that they're probably in touch with different things and would understand me on a level that is closer to what I want. As much as I like cornball, though, I don't know. Wormy, warm little poems. No, I would probably giggle about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say no to there. I'm going to say maybe just. Man, I don't know that I really care for any of them. Mm-hmm. Because, again, the CrossFit thing, I guess that's one of my own insecurities, is when somebody that does work out like you do, that has this drive that, you know, looks so good, looks so bulky, I like to make sure I'm moving enough that I can eat what I want, but I'm not hardcore, let's go to the gym, let's, you know, pound this out, let's all of that. And I can get into my head about when people that are... like you with that kind of work ethic in their gym, because I'm not that. I'm never going to be rock hard and solid. I'm definitely the soft.
So CrossFitters are weird, but you know, the only reason that I have that work ethic, I started going to the gym because I wanted to be able to eat whatever I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Right. I was getting to a point where I looked in the mirror and I hated what I saw. So I started going to the gym because I love food. Yeah. I want to be able to eat, but I don't want to be this big fat fuck that I was. You know what I mean?
You weren't.
I was overly hairy, looked like I was wearing a sweater when I took my shirt off. I was rolls everywhere. Like, it was bad.
No, it wasn't that bad.
I can see pictures of myself. I know that it was. Anywho, but the reason that I have the drive that I do now is because that's my antidepressant, mm-hmm. right? I take my antidepressants. I stay on that medication. But if I don't have that go to the gym and fucking break myself feeling 5 days a week, it gets bad in my head, right?
Yeah.
Last week, I only went 4 days because my arm was fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
By the Sunday night, I was having a fucking panic attack. You know what I mean? That's my mental health. That's how I take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're thinking about that, you're thinking about, you know, oh, they're, you know, they've got this drive to look so good and they've got this drive to do this. No, that's not the case. For 90% of the people in there, it's just to make the mean voices go away. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, with you and with our newest brother-in-law in life, I totally see it. I know that's how you guys battle your demons.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm as hard on swiping left on those kind of people as before.
Yeah.
But, and see, again, here we talk about an insecurity thing. There ain't no way that somebody that's that tall and that buff is going to want somebody that is tall and soft.
Shut up.
Me.
You're a goddess. Shut up. You're a goddess.
But you get where I'm coming
I'm
from.
I'm going to throw shit at you. We don't say mean things about ourselves.
I am just saying that is...
You're just saying stupid shit, so stop.
I'm just saying
you're
that
just
is sometimes
saying stupid
what
shit,
I think.
So stop.
So I would probably say... I want to say no to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the no for that one is definitely more probably based on my own insecurity.
I said no to two of them. If you want to say no to all three of them, you can.
Well, and the accidental full swapper, I agree with what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
They're crossing a boundary, or you've put a boundary and they're crossing that. But because of it being so fluid, it just, like, it depends on how far that boundary got pushed or how that got swapped to me.
I think that I agree with you to a point, but also you can't allow a little bit. Because at what point does it stop,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you've set a boundary, you can't allow that boundary to be crossed, and you can't allow yourself to cross that boundary. For me, if I set the boundary of I don't want to date, right, and then I start crossing that boundary of feelings developing and things like that, what does that make you feel? it makes you feel shitty, right? It makes you feel like I'm not communicating and all this because I've allowed myself to cross a boundary. Any boundary crossed is that.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. I just, in that kind of sexual disposition, there, the things just might happen to...
I get heat of the moment. I do. You know, I understand heat of the moment, but there needs to be a conversation beforehand of this could turn into this.
Okay, you know that's what I mean? Fair.
So, because I don't want to say no to all three of them, I'm going to put that one as maybe like a sex thing.
Okay.
But again, simply because I try to remain open in, and not just for me, but in for you, if that situation was to something to come up that I know that you would be into and that I'm not, like, even though you, like, we might have talked about it, it still happens. Like, after we talk about it and be like, well, hey, I thought this was where we were at.
Yeah.
It's definitely the happy dude bro part of me that is like, sweet, you just got, you know, like,
yeah.
I was able to not, I don't like the word, I was able to allow you to experience that with somebody else and get your rocks off in a way that I don't or won't have pleasure in doing myself.
Yeah.
So that's why I say that. Boundaries are a big deal. If you make one, you stick to them. But sexually, I think there's just got to, there's a little bit of wiggle room in that for things like that to happen.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, like I said, heat of the moment type things, things are going to happen.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a conversation beforehand of this is a possibility.
Yeah.
And then there needs to be an immediate conversation afterwards of, hey, you know, this just happened. Can we talk
and by
about
immediately
this?
After, he does not mean the act has happened and he's coming to find
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that, but I do mean soon after,
yeah.
like within the night
yes.
or the very next morning, right? It needs to be soon because you can't.
It's definitely a conversation that needs to be had.
The longer that you allow both of you to sit on that, the worse it's going to get.
Sure.
100%. If you don't address it and you just both sit and stew on it, it's going to explode. So
yes,
address
don't
it.
Leave. Yeah, that's a good one. Don't let it stew.
Yeah.
Be open-minded as far, like, no, it should not be more than 24 hours. If something happened in that was a boundary before, don't wait on it because it is just it's going to eat the person up that knows they broke the boundary. And then by the time, if there's too much time given, the person that the other partner is going to hurt worse.
Yeah.
Because you know you did it and you've been trying to in that aspect, it's almost like to me, you didn't care that that was a boundary.
Mm.
And now you've taken time to work up a way to make it sound okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to have to get over it because that's what it is. But that's not the way we operate, luckily.
Right.
So yes, don't sit on it. But again, I'm very big on Cody making sure that if he's having fun with somebody else, that he is taking the time to give them a little bit of the aftercare.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, I don't want him messing up my, no, I'm just kidding. that's an important part of it. If we're in this for having fun and those kind of things, you need to help your partner come down.
Yeah.
I know some people enjoy, they don't need the aftercare as much because they are just kind of in it for sexual reasons, more along the lines like of you. I know I need aftercare. I'm not saying I need to spend the night. I'm not saying that you need to bring me roses and tell me that you love me. There's got to be some time coming down from what we just shared.
Well, and, you know, sexual aftercare for swingers can be something simple, right? For me, like I said, just good job. I know that there was a girl that I was with that loved to be spanked. The aftercare for her was just soft rub.
Yep.
Like, just make sure she's not hurting. She's okay, right? So, I mean, it can be something very, very little, right?
Yeah.
But you have to provide aftercare. And that's sorry, I didn't mean to go off
no,
on a side
no,
tangent.
I don't know if we're talking about the same person, but I remember the first time you really had a playmate, you were very worried about getting back to me and that was not taken care of.
Yeah.
And then when it was brought up to me the next day, because because I was friends with this person, it was like, oh shit, I have to talk to him about that.
I was not talking about that one, but that one is the one that opened my eyes to, I have to be able to come to you, provide those reassurances and let you know that, hey, I'm still yours. You're still mine. Mm-hmm. We're still forever, right?
Yeah.
but I also have to give aftercare to the person I was playing with.
Yes.
Right. And that's kind of what started making me look more that and, you know, playmates being interested in it, but it started making me look more into the dom and sub type thing. Right. And you know, aftercare is one of those things I'm big on now. And I wasn't whenever we started in this, and I've learned, you know.
Yeah, that was, yeah, it was a good lesson for both of us. And luckily, I mean, we're still friendly with that person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kudos to her for feeling safe enough to talk about it the next day, yeah, so that it was something that we could put on our radar,
sure,
to get better at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that was our little fun thingy.
Yeah, we are just about out of time here. So we are getting a little bit more active on socials. I do not have the link to it in the episode description today. I'm going to work on that and changing that, but we do have a Facebook page. On our Facebook page, you will find these little games that we play throughout the week. You will find info about episodes, anything that we've got going on. You will see updates there for that. Our Instagram, TikTok, all of that stuff is linked in the episode description. If you have questions, you have stories, anything like that, throw us a message on there. We will respond to you. It will be one of us. It won't be an ad manager. It won't be anything like that. Speaking of ads, do appreciate you listening to those ads through there. It does help, one, drive us up the charts, but two, also get us money. Money is important. We need money. I would love to quit my job and do this full time. So in order to do that, we have to have ads, right?
Yeah.
So I appreciate you guys sticking with us for those. It means a lot to us. Let's see. Oh, the Blue Collar Blue Dot podcast is out now. Go listen to that one. You got anything else for him?
Nope. I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just take care of your partner. Communicate and, you know,
talk.
Jealousy is normal. Jealousy is okay. Just figure out why you're feeling that, right?
Yep.
And until next time, love yourselves because we love you. Okay. Thanks.
Bye.